Good morning and welcome to The Business of Living, the show that brings you strategies and practical solutions for managing your life and career. I'm your host, Scott Ventrella. Well, last week on the show, we were joined by Catherine Solman, and she discussed nine lives of women, and this was really relating to careers. And I remember after, and it was fascinating, very interesting, and I think very helpful for women. And I'm sitting there thinking, well, what about guys? You know, do guys have nine lives, or do we have less? Do we have more? Again, relative to careers. So, you know, is there an equivalent? Do we sometimes define ourselves so narrowly that we can't think beyond, you know, what it is that we might be occupied with at the moment? You know, and again, I'm thinking in terms of the career that we might have chosen. Some of us get locked into something and really can't see beyond that. But I do think things are changing. I think more and more people are looking at second and third careers, depending on the different stages in life. Of course, the economy is forcing people to rethink. I'm hearing a lot of people reinventing themselves. I just talked to somebody yesterday who said, "Yeah, I've had to completely reinvent myself, and because I want to go after, you know, change my career and do something different." So, the question that keeps kind of running through my mind is, how do you keep your life and career buzzing with excitement, energy, and passion? Well, you know, when I thought of the various people that might be able to give some insight into this, I could only think of one person, because they have figured out a way to keep their life and career buzzing with excitement, energy, and passion. And today, joining us is Dr. Donald Teague. Dr. Don Teague, welcome to the show. So you heard the introduction, and what do you think? So the nine lives for women, starting from right out of college, and they get into the workplace, and I won't go through all the nine stages, but you seemed – well, let me just give a little bit of your background. I should have said this first. So you started the Institute for Sports Vision in Ridgefield. You're the founder of Ridgefield Family Eye Care. You've pioneered work in sports vision and visual motor performance. You're the founder and president of Ultimate Events, an LLC, a Connecticut-based company dedicated to creating spectacular events for people to enjoy. You also work on network television and radio programs. You've been a featured guest on a number of shows, including The Today Show, NBC, ESPN, et cetera, The Fan. You have played in a band, you've had your own radio show, and very involved in the community. So you somehow have figured out what these various lives. So let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, and that was just last week.
That's right.
No, you know, my mindset on that question is, we all probably, somewhere in the recesses of our minds, have some passions that maybe we're afraid to execute and make it happen. And I've just never felt that I would do that. My mindset was always, you have a passion, something interests you, you like it, figure out how to make it enjoyable, fun, and maybe even financially rewarding as well. So that's probably what led me down all these different paths.
Take us back a little bit to the earlier stages of your career. So, I mean, were you always like this? Did you always have an active mind, you know, thinking about the different possibilities, different career choices? Because then eventually you did go on to college, and I wasn't aware of this. I read your background. You've got a bachelor's degree in psychology?
Yeah, I have a BA in psychology, a BS in biology, and my doctorate degree. But as a young guy, I was a singer.
Okay.
And had a band that was pretty successful in the New York area. And if it weren't for the Vietnam War, which put a lot of pressure on all of us, I probably would have stayed in the entertainment world.
So that was your aspiration, really?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it was. But being realistic and having parents that weren't too thrilled with that idea, I went off to college, professional school, and became a doctor. But when I became a doctor, and my specialty is eyes, the degree in psychology really played a big role, because my favorite course when I was in college was a course called perception. Mm-hmm. And perception is not just how we see, but how we interpret what we see. So when I got into this field of eye care, a very interesting niche for me was the sports component of it, because athletes not only see but have to perceive a certain way to be successful at their sport. And I always had a sports background. I played a lot of sports. I was always – I'm the guy who picks up the newspaper and reads the sports page first. So it was a natural marriage, and I got to know some players on the New York Yankees, and I got this aha experience that said – nobody is really doing anything to evaluate or train visual motor skills of athletes. Even the professionals would say that they'd go for an eye examination, and basically the doctor said, read the eye chart and let me look at your retina, and if it looks good, have a nice day. Hope you hit 300.
Now, so, what period are we talking approximately?
1979.
Okay,
I was already in practice for about 5 or 6 years in Ridgefield. And felt that this niche would be such a great passion to follow. And so I met with an engineer, and we started to create equipment that could not only assess but train certain visual motor skills. And I made a list of about 35 things that we do with our eyes in sports that go way beyond just reading an eye chart. For example, being able to make spatial judgment, being able to concentrate. That's really driven by your eyes. Of course, everybody knows the term eye-hand coordination, eye-foot coordination, depth perception. It's just a multitude of different skills that nobody was evaluating, nobody was training.
I don't think anybody, including myself, has ever really thought about how comprehensive that is. Like you said, when I think of vision, when I think of perception, it's more – am I nearsighted? Am I farsighted? Do I have astigmatism, et cetera? But you're saying it goes much beyond that, and you had a passion in that particular area. So now you found a niche. And was it around that time that you started the Institute for Sports Vision?
That's exactly when I did. And, and fortunately, I had the courage, and I think that's always a thing. You know, if you have a passion, you then have to have the courage to make a change. So I approached the people at Bausch & Lomb and said, listen, I'd like to write letters to the Major League Baseball teams and see if there's an interest. Would you back this? And I was a solo practitioner at the time. Now I have three other partners in practice. But I knew I had to leave my office for a few days. But I was able to get to spring training, where I evaluated 7 Major League teams. And that was the beginning of how it all got going and went from there to the pro tennis tour and then the pro golf tour. And then what I found is that the athletic trainers are all friends with each other, and they would make recommendations. And the next thing you know, I was working with 6 NBA teams and 5 NHL teams and a few NFL teams and on the golf tour, the tennis tour, the Olympics. And it burgeoned into this huge specialty, which I still continue to do to this day.
And all along, you had your practice for regular Joes like me.
General care, primary eye care practice, specialties of contact lens fittings and pathology and all the works. But this niche was always kind of the big draw that kept me excited about what I was doing, and it made our patients excited too.
Now, working with professional athletes, you don't have to name anybody in particular. It would be kind of fun if you did. But in general, it wasn't too long ago I actually had somebody on the program that works, a personal trainer that works with celebrities and very well-known people. And again, I won't be mentioning any of those names. But it was interesting to hear, what it's like to work with people who are famous, people who have, they're wealthy, they are in the, usually in the headlines for good things, right? So what's that like for you? Did you have to change your style to work with these folks? Or
not really. I would say that what I typically found, which I thought was interesting, especially from the athlete standpoint, is those who had the best reputation for skill were the most dedicated to what I had to offer. The ones who you thought really didn't need as much of my help as others would were the most committed to what I was doing. And like everybody else in life, there were nice people and there were tough people. Most, I'll say 98% of those I've ever worked with have been tremendous to work with. I do also think that athletes and celebrity types in general are somewhat protective of themselves when they go out into the public because they're inundated. And fortunately, as a doctor who's offering a service to them that they value, I never had that kind of relationship with them. And the ones who were really good people were good people and, you know, treated me great and I treated them fine and it was perfectly okay.
How would you measure success, results, performance, through performance?
Well, everything we do in the terms of testing and training has quantifiable numbers in the procedures we do. But obviously, those numbers are only as good as the clinic. But yes, when the player has a year where their batting average went up 50 points, and I never went out and said, hey, I did that. I never had to. The player would say it. He'd probably say something like, well, you know, my batting coach has been great. He worked on my swing, and I really did a lot with my eye training, and I'd like to thank Dr. Teague because he really was a big help to me. And I wouldn't have to go reaching for it. You'd get the kudos because they were there.
They obviously would know, and I would imagine if you're playing at that level that even slight changes can make all the difference.
That's right. And I also want to emphasize that the people we work with can be the 10-year-old little league kid as well as the professional athlete. We run the gamut and people who are just passionate about their sports. We see a lot of people from Connecticut and from actually all over the world. I can tell you that in my years of doing this, I worked with a gentleman who was the world champion in quarter mile dirt track motorcycle racing from Southampton, England, and he would fly over to see me once a month. I've worked with people who train border collies to herd sheep into a pen, and that's a sport. So I could name sports that you've probably never even heard of that right. We've worked with.
Sounds like there's a great book there. So you started off as, you know, very early on with an aspiration maybe to, you know, be a performer, a singer, you know, be part of a band, etc. Then that moved, you know, you got a taste of the, you know, a sense that wasn't going to be enough really maybe to for a good great livelihood, or you went on to college, you had the background in psychology, you start the practice right from the beginning.
Yes, really. Yeah. Essentially open cold in 1973.
Okay. And so at that point I would imagine it would have been very easy for people to kind of pigeonhole you. Okay, well, it's, you know, you're an eye doctor. And as I mentioned in the introduction of the show, that's, I think sometimes I run into people that they have defined themselves by, let's say, a title or by a function that they serve in terms of their occupation. You have not done that, though. It seems like you continue to move along, because I also understand, and I mentioned this in introducing you, that you're the founder and president of Ultimate Events. Now, what's that all about?
One of the passions was event planning. I really took an interest in creating conferences. And there is definitely a connection with what I do professionally in my career to that type of a thing, because there are doctors who want to attend conferences. And my niche in that area was that I felt that doctors are very well trained in how they treat people medically, but many of them don't know how to run their businesses. So I picked as a niche practice management. And I would run a conference in Florida for the last 7 years that would be called the Ultimate Practice Management Conference. So that was a whole other interest that I wanted to pursue, and I just did it, and I learned what it takes to do it. I essentially did it single-handedly, except for some help from my son, who's a brilliant graphic designer and website guy, so he was able to help me with that end of it. But beyond that, I was ordering the food for the meetings, and I was getting the speakers, and that was the other passion.
Not an easy thing, because I do that in the, you know, I'm familiar with that on the business, you know, in the business world. But so now you're in the conference or event management, and how did the first cycle go for you? People showed up, and
it worked from day one and grew from that point on. And just this year, I sold the conference.
Okay.
So that's done. Moving on to the next step, which is my Broadway play.
Okay, let's talk about that. So what's that? So how do? Well, okay, I can see a theme here, though. You know, the music, right? It involves vision, having a vision to have an idea, and then the vision to turn that idea into something great, like a Broadway show. So, what is this Broadway show?
Well, what's it all about? Background is such that I grew up during the baby boomer era of the '60s, and was always passionate about that music, and that's what my band played back then. I started a band about 8-9 years ago in this area. Where we sang that kind of music, and it was made up of actually the chiropractor for the New York Yankees, Lou Bozzoni, Dr. Paul Ruggiero is a cataract surgeon, Rich Coopersmith, Dr. Coopersmith is another chiropractor, and Lisa Conciatori, who was an optician working in my practice.
What an image, because I just don't usually think of people in the medical profession, you know, doctors, with, you know, drumming and, you know, playing guitar and singing, and but you guys had this thing going, huh?
You know, I really think there is more of a connection to that than you think, because many doctors have a lot of creativity to them, and they do have these skills.
I don't know if I want a heart surgeon to be too creative, though.
That's true. Good point. But we did form a group called the Retrotones. We opened for Shanana several times.
Yeah, I remember them.
We cut an album. We did all that. In my travels and as a doctor in Ridgefield, one of my patients became Lloyd Price. Lloyd Price is in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and his life story is an amazing life story. He wrote and recorded the first ever rock and roll record, which was called Laudie Miss Claudie. He then went on to have at least top 10 hit records, including Personality, that everybody knows, that song, You've Got Personality.
I remember that. Yeah, I remember it well.
And his life story encompasses some really tragic things. He was involved in, owned a nightclub in New York City. His partner was murdered. He also did some amazing entrepreneurial things. He was actually the force behind the Rumble in the Jungle and the Thrilla in Manila, the Muhammad Ali fights that took place.
Frazier? Well, there were a number of those.
The Rumble in the Jungle was Muhammad Ali and George Foreman, and then the Thrilla in Manila was Joe Frazier and Muhammad Ali. But he and Don King were behind that. He also discovered Little Richard among his many accomplishments, and he owns the rights to all of his music, which was almost unheard of. So the story was really a very compelling story.
I would think in that era, that is interesting. I would think in that era that, you know, most people would just be happy that, you know, people are paying attention to them, they've got a contract, and yeah, you can, because most did give up the rights. But it's amazing
he was smart enough.
Presence of mind.
Yeah, at age 15 to visit a lawyer in New Orleans. He grew up in Kenner, Louisiana, which is a little town right outside of New Orleans where the airport sits today. And he just knew that he needed some legal management. And he went to see a lawyer, and the lawyer said, don't sign any contracts until you talk with me. And in his career, he owns the rights to those songs, and every time you hear Personality on the radio, there's some money for him.
Ka-ching, ka-ching. There ka-ching, goes the ka-ching. Cash register.
Exactly. Yep. So the story was really amazing, and I sat down with him one day and I said, I'd like to tape your life story. So I took a digital recorder and I did that, and I said, I'm going to try and write a script. And I wrote a script, which has since been revised quite a bit. I don't claim to be the expert Broadway script writer, but we created a musical, which right now we're in conversation with the people who did Jersey Boys about backing the show with the intent of opening it in New Orleans, hopefully in the next year or two. I found out that it doesn't happen overnight. It takes time to get these things going, but we've got a completed script. And we're now in the process of bringing this to New Orleans with the hope eventually of bringing it to New York. And it's very exciting.
So this is all new ground for you. And I would imagine just like when you move into – well, when you moved into the sports vision, there's a learning curve there. You move into the event management, you know, doing conferences, learning curve there. doing a Broadway show, that's got to be a huge learning curve. So are you just naturally curious? Do you go out, you know, seeking answers to the questions? Because, again, it's no easy task. You need the financing and you know, the script and all of that. I mean,
my comment to that would be
mind-blowing.
Yeah, it is mind-blowing, but we can identify what all the components are, and if you don't have a huge ego to think that you can do it all yourself, which you can't have, because there's just no way I would know how to do all those things. So you have to rely on people you trust who can bring that to the table. But somebody has to be the point man. And I said, why can't I be the point man? And I brought together some pretty impressive people as partners. Lloyd is one of my partners, Lloyd Price, and Phil Ramone, who's probably the most renowned producer in the music business today, having produced Billy Joel, Frank Sinatra, Paul Simon, just to name a few. Phil is a partner in this, and John Benanni, who was the executive producer at Radio City Music Hall, the Christmas show there. And the four of us became partners, and we began the process. And it is a long, drawn-out process, especially raising the money. But now that we've got some interest and support from the people who were very successful with Jersey Boys, we feel like we're on our way, and that's how it happened.
We're going to take a short break. We've been speaking with Dr. Don Teague. Dr. Don Teague is the director of the Institute for Sports Vision in Ridgefield, the founder of Ridgefield Family Eye Care. And we're talking about different stages in an individual's career. And when we come back, we'll see what else is in the queue. You're listening to the Business of Living Show. We'll be back in a moment here on 1490 WGCH.
This is Michelle Martin at Greenwich Library. Spring programs have begun in the Technology Training Center. Learn how to download ebooks from the library using OverDrive. Our ebook collection is compatible with most e-readers, including the Apple iPad, Barnes & Noble Nook, and Amazon Kindle. Bring your own or practice with ours on Saturday, May 5th at 10 a.m. Career Coach visits the library on a new day, the second Wednesday of every month. This month's workshop on May 9th is PowerPoint. Level 1 at 10 a.m., level 2 at 1 p.m. Seating is limited. Sign-up begins at 9:30 near the West Putnam Avenue Library entrance. And every Thursday from 3 to 4, get one-on-one help from library staff in drop-in computer lab. Pick up a program brochure at the library or online at greenwichlibrary.org. This is Michelle Martin on 1490 WGCH.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Business of Living, the show that brings you strategies and practical solutions for managing your life and career. I'm your host, Scott Ventrella. We've been speaking with Dr. Don Teague, director of the Institute for Sports Vision in Ridgefield, founder of the Ridgefield Family Eye Care, works with all kinds of professional athletes, entertainers, is the founder and president of Ultimate Events, and as we just learned, is working on a Broadway show featuring the life of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame legend, Lloyd Price. So if that wasn't, and that was just the last couple of weeks, right? And so if that wasn't enough, what else do you have going on?
About 2 years ago, I, with a friend, decided to create a concept based around the idea that people want to know how they can be fit, how they can deal with injury or prevent injury. So I came up with this idea called the training room. And the training room, to me, is multifaceted. It's a website, and I put together all the experts I knew. And in my career, I got to interact with some of the best coaches, the best athletic trainers, the best orthopedists, strength coaches. Even we have a yoga instructor who's the yoga instructor for the football Giants. So part of the concept is a website which has a component called Ask the Expert, where you can blog in questions to these top people in the world of sports about your own sport. For example, I'm a golfer, and I want to know what I should be doing in terms of stretching or exercises in the gym to build my ability to hit a golf ball better. This is something we would cover. But we came up with 50 different ideas of topics we could have. So you have a website. We also are creating clubs. For example, the training room club for children, for kids, where you can –
Oh, so this isn't just for – so this can be for, you know, regular guys like me, a runner. I do some cycling, maybe some swimming now and then. So kids, so you don't have to be a professional athlete.
No, absolutely not.
Even a semi-pro.
Right. In fact, I would think that people who would log on to this would be none of those type of people.
Okay, because they have their experts that they can access.
Yeah, correct. So we thought of different clubs, like the training room club for golfers, the training room club for women, special needs of women when they play sports, and dealing with things like yoga and yoga instruction and that kind of stuff. So the other thing was to create a TV show called The Training Room, which would maybe have 3 or 4 segments per week that would deal with how-to type of things, how to deal with injury, how to prevent injury, but also topical things, maybe even controversial things like human growth hormone and what does it really do and is it dangerous and is it, you know, what is that all about? But things that are thought-provoking, things that are instructional. We also have the idea of doing this on a daily basis on the radio, where you would have a daily training room minute where people could listen and get a tip or hear about a story about maybe an athlete who was injured and what they're doing to rehabilitate that athlete. So there's a lot of different components to this training room, and we're progressing with it very nicely.
So are all these in separate compartments? Working on the Broadway show, you've got the practice, you work with athletes, you work with other doctors, coaching, counseling, or I would say actually coaching, providing advice. Are there all these in separate little separate compartments, boxes, or
The question I get every day is, do you sleep?
Yeah.
And the answer is, yeah, I do, because
– God gave you a 36-hour day,
I have a 24-hour day.
8 days a week, right?
8 days a week.
Yeah.
No, but I really do get a good night's sleep, but during the day I'm active and I'm busy. And my advice to people is, if you have a passion and you have an interest, you're going to hit some stone walls along the way. It's going to be difficult certain times, but you have to get up when that happens and keep moving ahead towards your passion.
There's so many people that are stuck in a rut, yet they feel that, you know, well, I'm generating an income. I've got to, you know, make my mortgage nut and all the other expenses that they may be faced with. That can really be paralyzing. So they, you know, in other words, they, you know, I don't want to make the move. Yeah, I would love to do some of these other things, but I'm paralyzed and actually constrained because of, you know, my financial obligations. What would you say to someone like that?
Well, fortunately, I've earned a living throughout my career, and I'm at a point in my life where I'm ready to take those other chances and do that. So yes, you still have to be able to feed your family every day, but with whatever free time you have, if there's a passion, go for it.
So find the free time, make the free time, and go for it. I love it. We've been talking with Dr. Don Teague, Director of Institute for Sports Vision in Ridgefield. And thank you for joining me today. You've been listening to the Business of Living show right here on 1490 WGCH. See you next week.